Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A freeze is likely overnight tonight. A freeze warning in effect for part of the viewing area. I'll show you how low the temperature will go coming up.
Plus, sports fans could be able to place legal bets on games in our state. Coming up, the latest measure lawmakers hope will make it through the state legislature.
And calming fears after two major U.S. banks fail. Could it happen at your financial institution? We have an expert that's going to chime in.
Most of our viewing area, including the entire triangle, is under a freeze warning tonight. Winter is not done with us yet. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Chris Loving. Good in for Jeff Hogan. Thank you so much for joining us. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth has a town-by-town look at how cold it'll get in your area, and the furnaces definitely getting a workout this morning.
For sure. It was chilly this morning. It will be even colder overnight tonight. A freeze warning in effect, as Renee mentioned, for most of the area, and it does include all of the triangle. Here's what you need to know. From about midnight to 9 o'clock in the morning, a freeze is likely. Temperatures will drop down into the upper 20s to low 30s. So you'll want to protect any tender plants before you go to bed overnight tonight. Here's a look at the hour-by-hour forecast. This is for Raleigh. I'd expect temperatures close to freezing for the morning hours between about 5 a.m. until around 8 a.m. That's when we're most likely to see those freezing temperatures. But for some of the outlying areas, we could start to get down to around freezing around midnight tonight. So here's a look at a town-by-town look at the low temperatures tonight, getting down to 27 in Roxborough, 29 in Durham, 29 in Siler City, 29 in Lewisburg tonight, 30 in Wilson, 30 in Goldsboro. So you can see the northern half of the viewing area, it's upper 20s to low 30s, everywhere below freezing. And that's where we have that freeze warning in effect. Also in Sanford, getting down to 28 tonight, maybe down to 26 in Robbins, 31 in Irwin, 31 in Smithfield, 32 for the low temperature in Fayetteville. So we're not under a freeze warning down here to the south, but temperatures are still going to be very close to that freezing mark. I'd still go ahead and protect those plants before you go to bed tonight. And then for tomorrow night, we have a freeze watch in effect for most of the viewing area, except for southern Virginia. So we're going to have another round of cold temperatures Tuesday night and then again on Wednesday night. I'll show you how low those numbers will likely be coming up in just a little bit.
Coat weather it is. Amy, thank you. Come this time next year, you may be able to bet on the NCAA championship in North Carolina. That's because a new bill was filed this morning resurrecting the issue. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building with how this would work. Laura.
Renee, North Carolina lawmakers are trying once again to legalize mobile sports gambling in the state. You might remember an attempt last year failed by a single vote in the state house. The bill filed today has the backing of House leadership. It would allow betting on college, professional, electronic, and Olympic sports. The state would sell licenses to up to a dozen operators for more than maybe $1 million apiece. The state would get a cut of the revenue, 14%. The state lottery commission would be in charge of overseeing the business. More than 20 other states have legalized sports betting since the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a federal ban on it in 2018. Virginia legalized it just 2 years ago, and last year they took in about $50 million in taxes. Some states do not allow betting on in-state college teams, but North Carolina's bill would allow it. WRAL investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy says that was a key sticking point that led to last year's defeat. He thinks its odds are better this year.
The composition of the House has changed dramatically. About 25% of the House has turned over. On average, the people are younger. They may have more familiarity with how this works and may have less objections to it. So I know that supporters of the bill are very optimistic. They have the votes in both the House and the Senate to get this done.
The bill would also allow betting lounges at some venues like PNC Arena and Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. The professional sports teams have been urging lawmakers to legalize sports gambling. They say people are betting anyway, and the state should regulate and tax it. But critics are concerned it will lead to an increase in problem gambling or gambling addiction. Renee?
A lot to consider as the state thinks about opening the floodgates here. Laura Leslie, live at the state legislature. Tomorrow, the Senate is expected to hold the first of two floor votes on the Medicaid expansion deal. Once it passes the Senate, it only needs a single House vote to be on its way to Governor Cooper's desk. That could happen by the end of this week. Even if it's signed into law, Medicaid expansion would have to wait on the state budget to be passed, which could be months away.
The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank sent off panic across the nation, and many Americans are now wondering about their accounts. Joining us to talk about easing fears is Al Lord, founder and CEO of Lexard Capital Management. Al, thank you so much for joining us here today. So a lot of people want to know, and if you could break this down for people, how did something like this happen and what were the warning signs?
Well, I guess we're still trying to figure out how this happened, but in effect, SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, was borrowing money, investing it into long-term bonds when money was effectively free, when the Fed had 0% interest rates. And so they went and took their deposit base and invested it into bonds. And so as soon as some of their depositors tried to take some money out, they had to sell their bond portfolio. And so they sold $21 billion of bonds at a big loss because those bonds have declined in value as the Fed raised rates here. And so that created a run on the bank. Not like the It's a Wonderful Life scenario of a run on the bank. Well, these days you just pick up your phone or tap a few buttons on your computer and you're wiring money out of the account. And so they had a run on the bank. They didn't have enough money to pay all their depositors withdrawing it. And then the FDIC had to step in and nationalize the bank, take over the weekend.
And took control. And it's worth noting that the CEO, or rather former CEO, Greg Becker, actually sold, $3.6 million in stock. So definitely wanted to make that point. So what can the government do to prevent more chaos? Because President Biden just said today that his administration is working to prevent something like this happening again.
Well, they've in effect nationalized the banks here, the banking depository, the FDIC. We had gone from $100,000 deposit insurance to $250,000, and so we're right now at $250,000. Well, SVB, 93% of their deposit base had over $250,000. So, the Fed and the Treasury and the administration have stepped in and nationalized all this. So, where this all shakes out down the road is there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing and finger-pointing and issues to work out. But the good news for all of us depositors is our money is going to be protected by the FDIC in unlimited amounts. So not just up to $250,000, but there's still a lot of fallout that will happen as a result of this.
Al Lord, founder and CEO of Lexard Capital Management, thank you so much for joining us here today. Hopefully someone gained some information from what you just talked about.
Thank you.
And stocks are on a tear right now as investors bet all the attention on Silicon Valley Bank will get the Fed to back off rate hikes. Look at the Dow up 249 points, S&P 500 in green territory advancing 30 points, and NASDAQ also up 150 points. Unemployment rates remain steady across our state. Between December and January, more people got a job and fewer people are unemployed. The Commerce Department reports the unemployment rate was 3.8%, the same as December. Businesses like hotels and restaurants added the most workers in that time with about 5,000.
The NCAA men's tournament bracket is set and both Duke and NC State are headed to March Madness, but the UNC Tar Heels didn't make the cut. Carolina is now the first team to be ranked number one in the preseason and not make a tournament since it expanded to the field of 64 in 1985. UNC also turned down an invitation to the NIT, so their season's over. The Blue Devils are fresh from their ACC championship win Saturday night. And the Wolfpack fell to Clemson in the quarterfinals. Number 5 seed Duke will play number 12 Oral Roberts on Thursday in Orlando, Florida. And then number 11 NC State will play number 6 Creighton on Friday in Denver.
Meanwhile, all three ACC teams from the Triangle will be playing in the women's NCAA tournament. Duke is a 3 seed. The Blue Devils will host first and second round games at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Their first will be against 14 seed Iona on Saturday. UNC got a 6 seed. The Tar Heels will be traveling, playing Saturday in Columbus against the winner of a play-in game between Purdue and St. John's. And NC State is a 7 seed. The Wolfpack will play 10 seed Princeton in the first round on Friday in Salt Lake City.
All right, so moments before our newscast, the Museum of Life and Science gave us a sneak peek at its newest and biggest exhibit in years. Play to Learn is a reimagined early childhood experience. It's almost three times the size of the previous exhibit. It offers babies, toddlers, and preschoolers a creative, engaging experience, and it encourages them to explore and experiment alongside caregivers and other children.
This is where young children start to think about how do you solve problems, how do you make things work. You know, if they're working here beside another child, how do we work together to solve something? Or how do I work in a space along somebody and get along?
Teamwork, the theme there, it sounds like. The redesigned Play to Learn exhibit was 4 years in the making. It officially opens to the public on Tuesday, March 21st.
Looks like so much fun. Get exploring. Still to come, in the case of four murdered University of Idaho students, we'll give you a better idea of what investigators are searching for as they build a case against Brian Koberger.
Plus, from glamour to the big winners, we are getting you all caught up on the Oscars and the memorable moments.
And a 12-year-old shot in Durham. WRAL will have a live report in about 20 minutes, when you'll also hear from the owner of the store near where the girl was shot.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
New information this noon in the murders of four University of Idaho students. New search warrants revealing the digital evidence investigators are looking for as they shore up their case against suspect Brian Koberger. NBC's Scotty Schwartz reports over 60 companies are now being ordered to turn over evidence.
New search warrants revealing dozens of major companies are being forced to turn over information in connection with the murder case against Brian Koberger.
All right.
Among those served, tech names like Apple, Amazon, Google, and DoorDash, social media companies Meta, Snapchat, and Tinder, and retailers Walmart and K-Bar Knives, the brand of knife sheath found at the crime scene with a single source of male DNA linked to Koberger. But not all the warrants are focused on the suspect. Some are requesting bank and social media information about the victims.
They're trying to find out if there is a hidden link that could explain a motive.
They will never be forgotten.
The four college students were found stabbed to death in an off-campus home last November. Authorities still haven't publicly released a motive, but alleged cell phone data shows Koberger stalked their house at least a dozen times before the killings and even went back to the crime scene hours after the murders. Experts say data from these warrants may help investigators piece together an even stronger digital footprint.
They are going all in, if you will, gathering every single conceivable piece of evidence so that if any doubt is raised, they will be ready.
Meanwhile, we're also learning new details about what officials say Koberger was doing the moment he was arrested at his parents' house across the country in Pennsylvania.
Brian, what are you doing?
The 28-year-old wearing gloves while separating his trash.
Mr. Koberger was found awake in the kitchen area, dressed in shorts and a shirt and wearing latex medical-type gloves, and apparently was taking his personal trash and putting it into separate Ziploc baggies.
The Monroe County First District Attorney calling that behavior significant for the investigation.
To me, that's incredibly damning. It shows a consciousness of guilt that he was making sure that his DNA did not end up in the trash.
Other newly unsealed search warrants show what police did seize in Pennsylvania, including a gun and knife, black face masks and gloves, a cell phone, multiple laptops, and a book with underlining on page 118. Investigators also say they found a shovel in Koberger's Hyundai Elantra and seized parts from the car itself, from the headrests and the seatbelt to brake and gas pedals.
That was Scotty Schwartz reporting. Koberger is due back in court at the end of June for a preliminary hearing on the first-degree murder charges.
Thousands of people in California without power are questioning the efforts of local authorities. Those people have been without power for more than a week. Neighbors in Nevada City near Lake Tahoe say county leaders told them to stock up on food and other supplies. However, they say snowplow crews did not clear the roads until days after the storm. They're also questioning the county's communication with power utility PG&E.
No signs of life from the state or the county. And yeah, there were lines down, but surely there must be some communication with PG&E that those lines aren't live.
People there are now bracing for rain and thunderstorms in the forecast through tomorrow night.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once topped the 95th Academy Awards with 7 Oscars, all in major categories, including Best Picture. Supporting actor went to Ke-Huy Quan. Supporting actress to Jamie Lee Curtis, her first Oscar, who thanked everyone who'd ever worked on or seen one of her films. And Michelle Yeoh became the first woman of Asian descent to win Best Actress. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert accepted an Oscar trifecta for Best Original Screenplay, Director, and Best Picture.
There is greatness in every single person. It doesn't matter who they are. You have a genius that is waiting to erupt. You just need to find the right people to unlock that. Thank you so much to everyone who has unlocked my genius.
The last film to win as many as 7 Oscars was Gravity in 2014. Ruth E. Carter, the costume designer for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, the first Black woman to win more than 1 Oscar. So a history-making award ceremony right there.
Yeah, it was a big night last night. And it kind of feels like here locally that we're getting hit with Everything Everywhere All at Once. You had some misting throughout, right? You have some sunny skies, some cloudy, and it's cold out.
Right. Luckily, we're kind of seeing some improvements here. We had that mist around this morning, a very gray start. So it was hard to believe when we were telling you, Peter was telling you the sun would come out. It's out in Durham, shining over the DBAP right now. In Goldsboro, we still have the cloud cover in place, but starting to see some sun here in Apex. This is Chapel Hill, a view from Top of the Hill Restaurant. We're seeing some blue sky and sunny skies there as well. So nice that we're clearing out after the kind of dreary start that we had with the mist and the drizzle around. You can really see this on the visible satellite imagery. It's the western and northwestern half of the viewing area where you can see the clouds are kind of departing, and we're seeing some breaks in many other locations as well. So we'll continue to see skies clear throughout the day today. Still chilly, though. Temperatures are in the 40s. 47 right now in Raleigh. It's 47 in Fayetteville. 45 right now in Roxboro. But it's warmer right now compared to yesterday. Yesterday was rainy. We had the snow and the sleet in the morning. It was kind of a gross day. So at least we're improving with our temperature. It's still chilly, still cool, but we're climbing into the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. 57 in Raleigh and Durham. 59 the high in Fayetteville. This evening, if you're headed out, maybe your kid has practices outside. It is going to be chilly. Make sure they wear the warm gear because we'll be in the upper 40s by 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock we'll be down into the mid 40s by 9 o'clock. It's dry, but it's chilly. And then overnight tonight, we'll get down to the 20s and 30s. We'll need the winter coats tomorrow morning. It will be dry, but it will definitely be cold as you step outside. And we do have that freeze warning. I showed you this at the top of the hour. Most of us under the freeze warning. If you have tender plants or tender vegetation anywhere in the viewing area, I suggest protecting them before you go to bed tonight. A freeze is likely with those temperatures in the upper 20s to low 30s. And it's not just tonight that we're concerned about with the freezing temperatures. Look at Wednesday morning, getting down to 30. We have a freeze watch for almost the entire viewing area for Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, we get down to about 32, but some of the outlying areas may be getting down into the 20s. And then we start to see those numbers improve by Friday and Saturday. Tomorrow's going to be a cool day. We'll have mostly sunny skies, highs in the 40s and low 50s. So just keep that in mind. It is going to be a windy day as well. High fire danger for tomorrow. So outdoor burning tomorrow, just don't do it. It's going to be windy. It's going to be dry. We'll have gusts up to about 30 miles per hour. And when you factor in the winds with the temperature outside, it's going to feel cold all day tomorrow. It'll feel like upper 20s at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 10 o'clock, feeling like 30, still feeling like upper 30s at noon. And then despite the high temperature up to around 50, it will feel like 40s in the afternoon. So a cold day tomorrow, windy day tomorrow, but it is dry. We start to get a little bit milder Wednesday, sunny, and then 65 by Thursday. St. Patrick's Day looking good, 73, but then we have some rain for at least part of the weekend, and I'll walk you through that timeline coming up in the next half hour.
You got the leprechaun doing the happy dance because it's going to be nice that day. All right, thanks, Amy.
Earlier in the newscast, we talked about the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. It's the second largest bank failure in our history. Tonight at 5:30, how a crisis that started thousands of miles away could affect finances here in the Triangle.
Plus, WREL investigates, looks into an increase in tractor trailer crashes. What could explain that deadly trend? That's tonight at 6 o'clock.
And store owners welcome the return of in-store shopping, but there is one drawback, the rise in shoplifting and how businesses are trying to deter it.
Plus, some homeowners moved during the pandemic, taking advantage of the market. Well, now some are having second thoughts. We'll tell you why in just a bit.
One major bank steps in to save the branch of another with a $1 bid. And if you use Purina dog food, we have an expanded recall alert for you. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
$1. That's how much HSBC Bank will pay to acquire the British arm of failing U.S. tech lender Silicon Valley Bank, which collapsed Friday. The Bank of England confirms in a statement that all depositors' money with SVB UK is now safe and secure. Here in the U.S., PNC Financial Group announced Monday it will not move ahead with a bid to buy SVB. The Pittsburgh-based bank sent an initial notice of interest but reversed course after some initial meetings, according to a source close to the deal. The U.S. government is stepping in to make sure customers of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank get all of their money. So Signature Bank, a popular funding source for cryptocurrency companies, crumbled Sunday, 2 days after SVB. The Treasury Department says it will unwind both banks in a way that fully protects all customers, while the Federal Reserve announces it will safeguard other institutions amid any market instability. Regulators confirmed in a statement that there would be no bailouts and no taxpayer money would be used. Nestle Purina is expanding the voluntary recall of their prescription dog food that could cause vomiting and even kidney failure for the animals. The company and the FDA say some batches of Purina Pro Plan, veterinary diets, dry dog food have potentially higher levels of vitamin D, which can cause a toxic reaction in dogs. Everything from extreme thirst and excessive drooling to kidney dysfunction. Purina says anyone using the dog food should toss it immediately. Customers can visit Purina.com for a full recall and refund details. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
As more people return to shopping in stores, some retailers say shoplifting is on the rise, and that's hurting profits. One CEO says he believes an increase in organized retail crime in parts of the country also plays a role. Retailers are now stepping up their security by locking up items, adding more cameras, and using facial recognition software. Some customers see the increased measures as an inconvenience.
A new survey shows many Americans who moved last year are regretting it. Real estate brokerage firm Homebay found 75% of people who moved last year had regrets. 20% say they wish they moved to a larger place. That same number say that, well, they miss their old home. And a little less than half say they cried during their move. The American dream is apparently beyond the reach of a lot of people who live in the Northeast. A new study from the financial company IPX 1031 shows many people in New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts are tenants instead of homeowners. 71% of renters surveyed say they would like to own their own home, but, well, money issues, climbing interest rates, and debt load are holding them back. The rate of homeownership is the highest in the South and West.
Demands for change in Durham after the latest shooting involving a 12-year-old girl. We'll hear from a business owner who says crime happens too often near his store.
Plus, no one is above the law. President Biden says there will be accountability following the collapse of two major U.S. banks. We'll get you a look right now at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
New at 12:30, the owner of the Durham convenience store outside which a 12-year-old girl was shot yesterday says something has to change. He says shootings are happening too often around his business, and now a child is a victim.
She is at least the eighth child under the age of 18 to be shot this year in the Bull City. WRL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger is live from police headquarters with new information on this investigation. Sarah.
Renee, a quick update. I just heard from Durham police that the girl's injuries have been downgraded to non-life threatening. So that is a bright spot in this awful situation. I talked a couple hours ago with the owner of the SS Tobacco and Vape convenience store. Witnesses told us the girl was leaving that store with a group when she was shot around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Police say her parents took her to the hospital. The store owner told me crime in the area is hurting his business, and it hurts emotionally too, especially he is a father of young kids. He says drive-by shootings in the area are sadly pretty common.
One time I had my daughter with me, and that was someone driving, same thing, shooting. They had my car and my friend's car. So after that night, I said, no, I don't bring no kids in the store. situations, you cannot control it. I mean, people driving, shooting. We just ask God to help us.
And police were back in the neighborhood today canvassing the area. The store does have surveillance cameras. The owner told me he has not yet had a chance to review the footage and see what it might show. Now, I did ask Durham police if this was a targeted shooting, a random shooting, if this girl was caught up in the middle of crossfire. At this point, they are not answering that question, only saying the whole matter is under investigation. Renee.
And Sarah, we are relieved to hear that the girl is expected to survive her injuries. Thank you for that update. Funeral services are scheduled to take place in less than 2 hours for a Durham woman whose family says she was a victim of domestic violence. Nicole Bullock will be laid to rest this afternoon. The mother of five died last Sunday at the Sonesta Select Hotel in South Durham. 33-year-old Rodney Crawford is charged with murder in her death. Court records show Bullock had an active domestic violence protective order against him and that he was on probation for assaulting Bullock in 2021.
A man was seriously hurt after a car hit him in Raleigh. This happened around 2 o'clock this morning on Coleman Street. The man who was hit was taken to the hospital, but police have not said if the driver will face charges. And WREL is working to learn more about a crash this morning on Navajo Drive at Raleigh. That's just off Wake Forest Road, north of the Beltline, if you're familiar. The WREL breaking news tracker was there at about 2:30 this morning. A van crashed into a line of parked cars in the street. You can see some of the damage right here on your screen. The crash also caused damage to other vehicles involved in this.
At least 7 people are missing after 2 boats capsized off the coast of San Diego. 8 people are confirmed dead in what police say was a migrant smuggling operation. The boats capsized off Blacks Beach near San Diego during heavy fog Saturday night. A woman who was in one of the boats says 8 people made it to shore, but 15 people on the other boat were unaccounted for. People who live nearby say it's not uncommon to see boats like these washed up on shore.
Look, I get the big picture. I get the laws. I get the need for boards. I get all that. But good God, on a humanitarian basis, that's a tough trip. Tough on, you know, on people just trying to do better.
Authorities say survivors may have escaped on land. The Coast Guard has called off the search for more victims.
New video shows first responders using a helicopter to rescue a man trapped, surrounded by floodwaters in California. Authorities said the man was driving his car when he got swept away in the middle of a flooded river. That man was able to escape the car and get to an island in the middle of the river. First responders say the man was shaken, but not hurt. And business is back to normal at a Vermont airport today after flights were grounded, and that happened because of a threat. A United Airlines flight from Newark was held on the tarmac at Burlington International Airport for several hours yesterday. Authorities say about 20 minutes before the plane was due to land, a passenger found a note in the bathroom saying there was a bomb on board. Now, a bomb squad didn't actually find anything unusual or suspicious, and no one was hurt.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WRIL Live Center. We are monitoring a live press conference from the Pentagon right now in Washington, where they're talking about their budget request for 2024, an $842 billion request that includes $300 million for security in Ukraine. That has always been in the budget, but there is no additional funding for Ukraine in this budget. Senior defense officials say the war there is just too unpredictable at this point to know what kind of assistance Ukraine might need then. Instead, this budget request for 2024 prioritizes China as the main U.S. threat in 24.
Brian, thanks. After a weekend of financial uncertainty, President Biden is projecting confidence in the U.S. banking system. Even after 2 massive banks worth hundreds of billions of dollars collapsed, we're talking the second and third largest failures in U.S. history. Lauren Blanchard explains how the government is stepping in to calm fears.
The nation is looking to President Biden to calm financial fears after the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank.
Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them.
He's promising to increase oversight and regulation.
We must get the full accounting of what happened and why those responsible can be held accountable. and my administration, no one is above the law.
Over the weekend, federal regulators stepped in to ensure all deposits at the two banks as fears of missing payroll grew. A sigh of relief since many depositors are not insured for more than $250,000. The Treasury Department, Federal Reserve, and FDIC say customers will have access to their money starting Monday at the opening bell. Stocks were down. Investors are still jittery. Silicon Valley Bank, which caters to startups, failed Friday and had more than $200 billion in assets. Signature Bank was shut down on Sunday and holds more than $110 billion in assets.
I think the first question here is how much additional, panic is there? Have they calmed the panic?
Regulators are trying to find buyers for the banks, but some lawmakers say the failures are the result of bad policy.
When interest rates go up, the Fed had to raise interest rates to combat the Democrat inflation.
That was Lauren Blanchard reporting. The president says this is not a bailout like in 2008, since no taxpayer money will be used. Instead, the FDIC will use deposit insurance funds until they can find buyers for the banks. Still to come, helping two wounded Ukrainian soldiers heal from war injuries. The nonprofit helping the two heroes with a life-changing procedure here in the U.S.
And you know, spring is just a week away, so we've got some ideas to shake off the winter rust and make the most of a new season. And hey, take WREL News with you wherever you go by downloading the WREL News app. Get breaking news alerts, live newscasts, and on-demand video right at your fingertips. All right, our county-by-county coverage takes us to Person, Vance, and Sampson counties.
We begin in Person County, where you have a chance to learn why Duke Energy is looking to raise rates. Duke Energy is asking North Carolina's utility regulators to raise electric rates 18.7% this year. That means a bill for $125 a month would go up to $141. If the request is approved, the increase would begin in October. The first of four public hearings on the rate hike is happening at the Person County Courthouse tonight at 7.
Today, the Henderson City Council will hear from the town's police chief about how he plans to hire more officers. The chief says right now, 27% of his positions are open. He says he wants to raise starting salaries so that it's closer to Wake County or closer to surrounding agencies. The chief also wants to use the salary of one of the open positions and put it toward cameras to scan license plates, also known as flock cameras. Tonight's meeting is at 6 p.m.
And in Sampson County, more than 200 addresses are going to need to change. County officials say this is because of construction in the area. Right now, there's a plan to rename roads and renumber addresses along the NC-24 corridor. When the state rebuilt that road, the changes caused some roads to not have names since certain parts of it were split into two. Addresses affected include those on Roseboro Highway, Autry Highway, Dunn Road, and Stagecoach Lane.
Two wounded Ukrainian soldiers are scheduled to meet today with doctors in Seattle to continue their journey of healing. The soldiers received a big welcome at the airport from fellow Ukrainians. An officer in Ukraine's Air Force lost his leg. An armed forces captain lost his arm during combat. They're in Seattle to receive prosthetics thanks to UkraHelp Foundation.
They are heroes who paid the high price with their blood, with their wounds for freedom, for independence of their country and future of their nation.
The soldiers will stay in Seattle for a month as they recover. UkraHelp Foundation is holding a benefit concert on March 30th in Renton, Washington, to help its efforts in Ukraine.
Sudden, unexpected infant deaths for black babies is on the rise. The suicide rate for black infants in 2020 was nearly three times higher than the rate for white babies. Roughly one out of every six infant deaths were considered sudden and unexpected. Among the causes of death, accidental suffocation or strangulation while in a crib. It's a perfect day to catch up on sleep after losing an extra hour in the day. Today is National Napping Day. It was created in 1999 by a professor at Boston University to bring attention to the importance of getting enough sleep. To celebrate, grab your favorite blanket, relax, and catch some Z's. Don't have to ask me twice, Chris.
I was about to say, you ain't got to tell me. The future of plastic, well, it's changing. We'll show you how one of the world's worst nuclear accidents is inspiring plastic made from rice.
And we've officially sprung forward, but is your mood on pause? After the break, A psychologist offers ways to get out of that winter rut and enjoy the extra sunshine.
Giving you a live look right now over our tower cam and Western Boulevard on a, well, it looks pretty outside. It didn't quite feel that way, though. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or your streaming device. This weekend marks 12 years since the earthquake and tsunami in Japan that caused the nuclear power plant in Fukushima to melt down. Now, the tragedy sent nuclear contamination across surrounding cities. And Jackie Ibanez shows us how one company is promoting greener manufacturing by turning the rice into a special plastic pellet.
The earthquake that struck Japan March 11, 2011, was the most powerful in the country's history. The disaster triggered a tsunami, which caused three nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant to melt down, sending radioactive waste into the surrounding area.
I think it will get better.
Junichi Abe is a farmer whose rice fields were contaminated by the toxic materials. For more than a decade, the fields were empty until now. While Abe's rice won't be suitable for people to eat because of health concerns, engineers at a company called Biomass Resin are able to transform it into low-carbon plastic pellets.
This is a petroleum-based resin that was found in plastic materials. And this is rice. So the petroleum-based resin is mixed with rice to make pellets called rice resin.
The rice plastic is already being used to make toys and other products for large corporations across Japan. Biomass Resin also recently opened a factory near the Fukushima nuclear reactor. They hope it will inspire some of the thousands of people who haven't returned to the area since the disaster to move back.
If there are no jobs, then there isn't an environment for people to come back.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting, and scientists test the rice before turning it into plastic to ensure it doesn't pose any radioactive threats.
Daylight saving time is here, and that can be a tough adjustment for some. A psychologist is sharing some easy things to help transition out of the winter rut. She recommends starting a new exercise routine, which can boost your mood. You can also add some healthier foods to your diet or start making plans for things you want to do as the weather warms, like creating a garden or doing some redecorating. It's also a good time to reconnect with friends. Now, if you find yourself having trouble transitioning into a new season, you should speak with a mental health professional.
Now, you mentioned gardening out there, and today, if you are doing any, if you have any plants outside or anything, you want to cover them just because of how cold it's been. I know that meteorologist Peter Sherwood mentioned that earlier, but we have meteorologist Amy Wilmoth here right now tracking how the rest of your day is going to go.
Right. We always suggest that if you're new to North Carolina and you don't know about the frost and freeze in the springtime, hold off on those gardens until mid-April. We could have freezing temperatures through at least the middle part of April, so you just have to hold off a little bit. Seeing some improvements here on a lot of our sky cams, especially across the western half of the viewing area, starting to see some sun mixing in with the clouds. So that's nice to see after the gloom that we had yesterday. Certainly a gloomy start today as well. So we're starting to see some peaks of sun, but it's still chilly with temperatures mainly in the 40s. We have one location showing up in the 50s though, Rocky Mount, 51 degrees with partly sunny skies there today. The hour by hour forecast for today, we still think the temperature will climb into the mid to upper 50s this afternoon, pretty close to normal for this time of year. But once that sun sets, the temperature will drop and we'll be in the 30s by midnight tonight. And we do expect a widespread freeze tonight. We'll likely get down to around 31 in Raleigh, but some of the outlying areas could drop down into the upper 20s tonight. Wednesday morning, another cold morning. We have a freeze watch in effect for almost the entire viewing area for Wednesday morning, our low down to 30. Thursday still close to freezing, but we see those numbers start to go up by Friday and Saturday. We should be out of the freeze warning time period, but for the next few mornings, we have to watch those numbers carefully. We do have some cold air settling in overnight tonight into Tuesday morning. It is going to be cold stepping outside tomorrow morning. Same thing Wednesday morning. We'll have cold air with us. Thursday morning, it's still cold with temperatures close to freezing, but we'll start to see temperatures moderate a little bit as we approach the end of the week. But we'll be tracking this cold front. This cold front will bring us some rain to kick off the weekend. It's not going to rain all weekend. In fact, Sunday right now is looking dry, but let's take a look at this system. We're dry for the next several days as high pressure kind of settles in for a while. while. But by Friday morning, there's a cold front to the west of us. The scattered showers will still be well to the west of us Friday. So throughout the day Friday, I wouldn't expect any rain. It's not until very late Friday night, probably not until after midnight, this cold front starts to move in, and we'll expect scattered showers as we're sleeping Friday night into Saturday morning. Scattered showers will be possible. So for the first part of Saturday, it looks like we'll have some scattered showers. Now, the timing could change. There's still a lot of time to watch this, but this is the system that we're watching for the weekend. Hopefully, most of the weekend will be dry, but the first part of Saturday, for now, it looks like we'll have some rain. If that system slows down, it might impact more of your Saturday. So keep checking back in for sure. The big story in the next few days is going to be the cold morning low temperatures for the next three nights. We'll be close to that freezing mark. We do start to warm up by Thursday, 65 for the high. St. Patrick's Day Friday, looking good, 73. We should be dry until late Friday night into Saturday. We expect some scattered showers. It does turn cooler by Sunday, mostly sunny with temperatures back into the mid-50s. But it is going to be cold tonight. Get those coats ready.
Looking good for 73. I say looking great. Thanks, AB. All right, sold. Siegfried and Roy's Las Vegas mansion is officially off the market. We'll give you a quick tour of the Jungle Palace and tell you how much it sold for.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Come this time next year, you may be able to place bets on the NCAA championship in North Carolina. That's because a new bill was filed this morning, and that bill would allow betting on college, professional, electronic, and Olympic sports. Our NC Capitol team will continue to track this legislation.
And tomorrow, the state Senate is expected to hold the first of two floor votes on the Medicaid expansion deal. Now, once it passes the Senate, it only needs a single House vote to be on its way to Governor Roy Cooper's desk. And that could happen by the end of this week. Now, even if it's signed into law, Medicaid expansion would have to wait on the state budget to be passed, which could be months away.
The NCAA men's tournament bracket is set, and both Duke and NC State are going dancing. The UNC Tar Heels did not make the cut. Number 5 seed Duke will play number 12 Oral Roberts on Thursday in Orlando. And number 11 NC State will play number 6 Creighton on Friday in Denver. We'll have coverage of both games all week with reporters at both games.
And it's a new record at the box office for Scream 6. That movie made about $45 million this weekend, the most ever in the first weekend for a Scream movie. Creed 3 was second at the box office this weekend, making more than $27 million. It has now earned more than $100 million in its first 2 weeks.
Carhartt and the National Park Foundation hope to motivate workers to break away from traditional careers. A new campaign highlights outdoor alternative workspaces. The billboard series display office job props against a backdrop of national parks. Can't beat that office view. The campaign was launched after a recent online poll found that 48% of Gen Zers and millennials would rather work outdoors instead of a traditional office space. Our pet of the day comes to us from Love Mutt's Rescue. King here is 14 months old, 51 pounds. He's been with small children, dogs, and a cat since he was 8 weeks old. He is house and crate trained and loves toddlers. King has puppy energy, but calms down when told. He also knows to leave things alone that aren't his. King would love an active family who will play with him and take him for walks. So if you're interested in King or any other pet, contact Love Mutt's Rescue.
Coming up at 4 o'clock on WREL News, the failure of Silicon Valley Bank has many wondering what this could mean for them here in the Triangle. We'll break that down and talk about what officials are doing to restore confidence in the banking system.
Well, the afternoon looks absolutely lovely. We're actually going to get near 60 degrees, so not as cold as yesterday. But tonight is when you'll have to watch for those freezing temperatures once again.
And don't be like me and accidentally turn off the furnace. Make sure you do that before you go to sleep. Probably wasn't smart on my end.
The heat's going to be running tonight. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great day. We'll see you at 4.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.